Hi, this is Steve Weinberger, CEO of the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation, and you're listening to the Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions podcast brought to you by our friends at Marine Max Clearwater. This episode was recorded January 19th, 2021. Mark Feinman, drummer and educator and member of the popular Tampa Bay area trio La Lucha, returned to these Young Lions sessions to do one of our What I Love About series on drummer Allison Miller. We also have an episode sponsor for this session, Nils Sedwick. Nils is a member of our Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation's board of directors, and we met Nils during his time with the Art Institutes in Tampa, and he became so involved with our organizations. We love Nils. He has a special place in his heart for the learning experiences that we craft around the festival production, and it all really started with working with the Art Institutes. So we look forward to many more years with Nils by our side, listening to beautiful music and working on ways of enriching learning experiences in our community around all we do. Thank you, Nils. To become an episode sponsor and support Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation, go to the studio at clearwaterjazz.com/education and then scroll down to Adopt a Session. Thank you for watching and listening to these sessions, and I hope everyone enjoys this episode, What I Love About Allison Miller, with Mark Feinman.
Clearwater Jazz Holiday.
Welcome back, everybody. Clearwater Jazz Holidays, Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions, Season 2, 2021. We're here with Mark Feinman. Mark, how's it going?
Everything is excellent. I'm doing really well.
Thank you so much for being back with us, man. We had a good time with you last year. I was just looking back at some notes, and we really did some wonderful sessions. They're all available in the studio, accessible through clearwaterjazz.com and the education and outreach page. History of the rhythm section and collaboration is what we started off with last year. And it's kind of fitting that we're starting off the new year with you again. And you also did some wonderful drum specific sessions on the quarter note system, exploring triplets, playing better with brushes. And of course we have the newer What I Love About series, and there's some really, really fantastic sessions that you did with Papa Joe Jones, Max Roach, Elvin Jones, Ari Honig, and Art Blakey. And today, Allison Miller back with another What I Love About Allison Miller session. So we really appreciate you, Mark, for being part of these, and we want to thank our supporters, Blue Water Wealth Management at Steward Partners and Marine Max Clearwater, for sponsoring the studio resource online and the podcast respectively. So if after these live sessions the videos get archived in the studio and the audio portion gets archived on the Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions podcast, available wherever you stream podcasts. So Mark is back with us. Mark is a member of La Lucha, a Tampa Bay-based trio. Their music ventures into a wide variety of musical styles and offers a really fun mix of genres under the jazz umbrella. They have received countless accolades and have extensive national and international performance experience, including several plays at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Music Festival and our newer Wanderlust music series. For more information about La Lucha, please visit them online at laluchamusic.com. You can get more information about the band, getting in touch with them, about their newest albums, and much more. Mark is a drummer. He's a composer. He's an educator. He's inspired by individual human experiences and a diverse range of musical influences. He has extensive performance experience playing with many wonderful musicians and was awarded the Emerging Artist Grant from Creative Pinellas, the Think Small to Think Big Grant, a Jazz on Edge 13 and 13 commission, and a Project Gen Yes residency to present a multimedia project raising awareness for Alzheimer's disease at the studio at 620. He's also a drum set instructor at St. Petersburg College and a wonderful part of Clearwater Jazz Holiday Education and Outreach. Mark, welcome to 2021, Season 2 of Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. The stage is all yours, my friend.
Thank you so much, Steve, and thank you to everybody at the Clearwater Jazz Education Outreach and Young Lions. It really is a pleasure to be here and to be back with our Season 2 in 2021. I really do hope everybody is doing well, and if you're here, I'm so glad that you're joining me because I absolutely love speaking about music. I love answering questions and hearing from you about music. I think it's a wonderful way to continue to stay educated. And it's also a creative practice. It's a really important part of music education, specifically jazz education, because it really is drenched in the history. And that goes right along with education. I absolutely love it. And so I am doing my next What I Love About Season 2 series. I started looking back. You can check out those videos. I spoke about some of the founders of drumming, even, because drumming really was created through the jazz tradition here in America. And when drums became exported into other countries, or jazz rather was exported around the world, they brought those influences back home to America and put those into jazz form. And so the drums have grown and kind of been elaborated in many different ways. And because of technology and because things move very quickly in today's world, music does the same thing. It progresses forward. And so I spoke about innovators and people that really pushed the music of jazz forward. And it was some of our, you know, forefathers. And now in this season two, I want to talk about some of the musicians that are forging new paths, those that are doing something new, or even if they're not doing something new, they're doing it at a really high level and beyond just drumming. If you've checked out some of my previous classes, some of my favorite drummers are not only fantastic drummers, they're really wonderful people. They're activists, they're really good band leaders, they're really good at educators and speaking about music and sharing what they love about music and how they play. Not everybody is able to communicate and speak about what they love about performing or how to perform. How do I make this sound? How are you able to make that sound and describe it in 20 different ways? So if this is your first time joining me, welcome. I am Mark, and I love a PowerPoint slide presentation. So I'll go ahead and share my screen, and I'll pull up my PowerPoint. What I love about getting to the last slide there. Let's get to the first slide. Here we are. Okay. The first part of this is, here we are, Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions, What I Love About Allison Miller. I'm going to do some brief history about Allison. Oh, here's a quote. "Compositionally, my sonic palette has become so diverse, which creates my jazz language. Diverse describes every aspect of my life. It's my personality type. I'm drawn to so many different kinds of things, and I'm totally open-minded. I'm never too happy in one place. I'm always moving around so many different types of music as long as human beings are playing or singing." That's Allison Miller. I found this in an interview that she did with Downbeat, and who she has won the Downbeat Rising Drummer Award, I think, twice now. We'll do some history about Allison. She was born in Texas in 1975. It actually says 1974 or 5. I was never able to get like an exact date of when she was born. It would have been easy to just contact her and text her, but I did not do that for this class. She moved to DC. She was actually born in Texas, moved and raised in the Washington, DC area. If you're familiar at all with the DC area, there are a plethora of pretty amazing musicians that are from there or grew up there or live there now. It has a pretty happening jazz scene. And she played with a lot of those musicians that still are there now or that come from there. She has a long line of family musicians, mostly on her maternal side. Her mother was a piano teacher and ran the choir at the local church. And her grandmother was actually an organist when her grandmother grew up in Oklahoma performing for different films. And she says she has a cousin that's a famous opera singer as well. We should find out who that is. She began playing drums at an early age. At age 10, her mother said that she was always banging on things and very rhythmic and pots and pans, just like the normal kid thing to do. But it became very serious, and she continued that into drum lessons. And she studied with a musician who was in Maryland, who was pretty well known in that area, Walter Saab, a wonderful educator in that kind of mid-Atlantic area, also playing with a lot of musicians that came through town. And as Allison became a little bit older, Walter got her some of those introductions to those musicians. She received her introduction into jazz through Walter. Allison has said in interviews that she grew up listening to what was on the radio, which is, you know, rock and pop music for her. The same thing for me and my generation, which is whatever was on the radio. And, you know, now it's hip hop and trap. A little earlier when I grew up, it was more rock bands and grunge music was, you know, exciting. And for her, it was kind of that like late 70s and 80s and early 90s. And it wasn't until somebody gave her a recording of Miles Smiles, and that's Tony Williams on the drums there, Miles Davis record, that jazz really spoke to her and said, something is special about this music. She, at age 14, sat in with Charlie Byrd, the great guitarist who is well known for bringing the bossa nova sound into American jazz music. A wonderful drummer named Chuck Redd, who's from the DC area, played with Charlie Byrd for many, many years. I have a few projects with Chuck, and I know she knows Allison growing up in that area and probably remembers that story of her sitting in at 14. She attended West Virginia University, and immediately after college, she moved to New York. I think a month after she graduated, she went right up, probably on the train, into New York. And she began kind of playing in the scene with everybody and anybody, whether it was with Dr. Lonnie Smith on the organ. She kind of got involved in this really cool singer-songwriter scene with Sarah Bareilles, who now has a wonderful musical called The Waitress. Ani DeFranco, who was like my favorite growing up. I used to listen to Allison Miller on Ani DeFranco records before I knew Allison Miller as, you know, a very established jazz drummer. Natalie Merchant and Brandi Carlile is another one. We'll check out a video of her playing with Brandi. And she sits in quite frequently on The Late Night with Seth Meyers, which is a late night show. I think it could be on NBC. I'm not sure. So she began leading her bands and co-leading groups with many different musicians around the New York City area. And then she was even playing with groups in Europe, meaning those groups were pulling her in, and she was doing year-round tours with her bands, with the bands that she was co-leading and groups that she was in Europe. So she really became established when she started presenting her own music and saying, this is my group, this is my trio, this is my sextet, and this is my music. And I think we've seen that with some of the past drummers that I had. They weren't just wonderful side musicians. They were band leaders And that means bringing in your compositions, but also giving opportunity to musicians around you and bringing in their music and kind of teaching and learning, teaching the musicians around you how to be a musician and playing as a group and playing as a band, which is not as common in the jazz tradition to be a band. Usually you're a side musician. She teaches at the New School of Contemporary Music, which is in New York. She's also a part of many jazz camps. Jerry Allen, who has passed away now, was a wonderful pianist and has a jazz camp that still continues. And she's an ambassador to a jazz camp in Thailand as well, which is very cool. She's the three-time jazz ambassador for the United States Department. I mean, this state, you know, U.S. State Department goes all the way back to our first drummer, which is Papa Joe Jones, sending musicians around the world to, you know, and exporting America's music to students and listeners everywhere else and saying, this is jazz, this is America. And so she's been on that U.S. state tour three times. She was the artist in residence in 2019 for the Monterey Jazz Festival. I think she did that alongside of bassist Derek Hodge. And she not only worked with the Monterey, which is a festival out in California. It's a really prestigious residency to have because you are working to bring in groups and saying, this is the music that listeners at Monterey should hear. But also she was doing a lot of education. I actually got to partake and see some of those classes where she did a session on swing music, and it went to students and musicians everywhere, just talking about music, similar to what I'm doing right now. But she would do this through that jazz festival. She currently resides in Brooklyn and is a mother with her wife and has two children. And she speaks about that because it's influenced some of her records that she's released recently. So what I really love, and you know, some of the earlier ones, it was like a long life because we have musicians and they've passed away. Similar to Ari Honig that we spoke about in my last class, she's still here. She's still making music. She's still young in her career. So that's what we're going to see, and see how she's such an innovator and influencer early on. I want to start up right in with seeing and hearing Allison play. This is a short little drum solo on a song that she wrote called The Itch. And this is the vamp on The Itch. So that's The Itch. I love that drum solo because it kind of goes through a wide variety of emotions there. And it's just a vamp, which means she can do whatever she wants over that bass vamp. And she's staying in time and she's doing some like really obscure rhythmic stuff. And by obscure, I mean like fun and playful, meaning she's not playing directly with the time. She's saying it can be here, it can be here. You can call those metric modulations or rhythmic modulations, whatever you want. They're definitely polyrhythmic stuff and rudimental things. She's playing a really melodic drum solo. And the reason why I'm saying melodic is because she really bases a lot of her drum, you know, her playing on the drum set, because she's also a composer. So her drum set playing melodically. And she speaks about this openly, and we'll see some more of that in some more videos. The dynamic range is really big. The louds are loud and the softs are really soft. And it brings you somewhere and kind of pulls you back. And that's what I really love about her playing. Okay. A little bit how I see her is as an influencer, as a composer and band leader. She's leading these groups. She's writing really wonderful music. As an activist, she's been very outspoken about stereotype as a female drummer and what that means. You don't often see many female drummers in the limelight, and there are many. We will see more next week, and I'll give a really wonderful list of more women drummers. And she's been an activist for the LGBTQ plus community as well. And she's very outspoken for who she is, what she is, and why she plays and why she writes and who she writes for. And I think that's wonderful that she is a human, not just a drummer. She's a wonderful educator. You can definitely check out her videos. You are able to study with her. And, you know, not even just listening to her as an education, but hearing her speak and share her experiences and all the types of music that she plays. This clip is from a radio program. It's also a video series called Jazz Night in America, hosted by the bassist Christian McBride. And in this video, they talk about melody on the drums. And Allison, of course, is featured on this video. So she's going to speak about kind of a quick history of drums and melody. And then they're going to, you know, you'll see what happens. And I'm actually going to skip forward at one point to a really cool, innovative technology that she uses on the drum set. So I think it starts with a really small clip from AC/DC that they have in the previous segment.
They can sing.
If you go back to African culture where drumming came from, there were talking drums. You know, where they could bend the pitches and they were communicating with other groups, you know, of the vicinity where they could hear each other and communicating within the group they were playing in. I play this instrument and I play jazz specifically because I love to converse and have a dialogue with other musicians. I have to be able to play melodically to be able to interact on the level that I want to interact with the other musicians in my band.
Let's try a little experiment. First, check out the melody in this classic Duke Ellington piece.
Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
You got it? Now let's see if Allison Miller can play it on the drums.
Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
Allison's playing different drums to produce a range of pitches. The bigger the drum, the lower the note.
Okay, so that's a fairly literal interpretation of a melody. Let me try it now doing one drum, rim shots. Cool, you can hear the melody in there, right? And you can even do something like this.
Those are rim shots on multiple drums. When you bend the pitch, a single drum can produce a huge range of notes.
You can think of it as a guitar string. So if you go higher up on the fret, on the fretboard, you're changing the length of the string, right, which makes it higher pitched. So you're doing the same thing here. Like, the closer I bring my hand to the rim, the pitch will go higher.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and skip forward a little bit.
Music and to the improvisation of the music.
So now I want to introduce you to a new technology that builds on melodic drumming techniques. It's called Sensory Percussion by Sunhouse. See these black things on the drums? They detect Allison's playing and turn it into digital sounds depending on where she hits each drum, how hard, and how fast she plays, even down to pitch bending and rim shots like we saw earlier. Drummers can map any sounds they want to the sensors while playing the kit just like they would acoustically, taking melodic playing to a new dimension.
You know, before Sunhouse technology, when you would hit an electronic drum or a trigger drum, you get one sound. That's it. And that's not natural. It's not organic. It's not what we're looking for from a drum. So now we can finally break up the drum in regions like we do acoustically, but digitally. And we can even go further than we could go before.
It's a new frontier for melody on the drums, and we're only just starting to see what's possible with this new technology.
I really wanted to play that through because it's a very, very cool technology. And there's no other musicians except her playing the drums, and you have melody, you have harmony, and the drums. It's a one person band. And I think it's very cool, somewhat scary, but also it's a form of music. She's really kind of DJing, but improvising at the same time and having to use the drums in a different way. Here's a quick photo of the band Artemis. It was in Vanity Fair earlier this year. Allison's on the drums and all white there. And you can see to the right of her is Cecile McLaurin-Solvant, Renee Rossness on the piano. Right in the middle is Melissa Aldana on saxophone, Ugueda on bass, Ingrid Jensen on trumpet, and on clarinet in the top right in the red is Anat Cohen. This is a super group of all women, and they have a really fantastic record out on Blue Note Records right now. I think we may even hear some of it, or at least hear them having a conversation with the Blue Note president soon. That's a really wonderful group, and Allison has lent her compositions to that group. Here is one of Allison's bands performing live in Philadelphia at the Art Alliance there. This is a group that she has called Boom Tick Boom. It's a very cool instrumentation, including Jenny Schneiman on the violin, who she collaborates with quite a bit and has been for a long time. Love for you to just see and hear the composition. We're not going to get through the whole thing, but let's just dive in and hear Allison's compositions and drumming as some more of her drumming.
Thank you.
All right, I'll stop it there. But you can hear how, again, dynamic range, really big, really exciting, almost very Thelonious Monk-like, and it's extremely angular. That song is called Hoarding the Pod. And Allison's playing goes way beyond outside of jazz, as do many musicians now, as did, you know, Max Roach, who played, you know, a lot of different styles of music. Jazz was just the popular style then. Brandi Carlile is a wonderful singer-songwriter out of the Nashville area and really popular modern country musician. And Allison Miller has performed with her. And I want to show how solid Allison is and well-rounded musician she is. And this is her playing some modern pop country. I'm gonna fast forward to just a section of the concert that I think really sticks out. Her playing really, really shines here. And this is from a performance. This is on a song called Break It Down. It's from a performance on Austin City Limits, a wonderful TV show. It just feels so good. It's so natural. The time is just solid and powerful. And she means what she plays. She knows when to lay it down and just keep the groove. I've saw interviews where she says, you know, jazz, you can go with the flow and you can interact. And when you're playing pop music, you really have to focus more on the lyrics and the melody and, you know, instrumentation-wise, where do you fit in? So she was ready for that fill right before that solo happened. But before that, it's just time or not playing at all. Okay, moving forward.
Now one of the best singers.
Essential listening and viewing. Some things to check out, some things to watch and to hear as well. Here's that quick interview. I'd love to hear you hear from her some more. This comes from an interview with Don Was, who is the president of Blue Note Records now. And they're speaking about their album that came out, the Artemis record, and specifically the song, The Goddess of the Hunt, which is where this name Artemis got pulled from. And you'll hear from Ingrid Jensen, who's in the box to the left, speak first, and then they'll go to Allison.
Artemis, I was like, oh, it's perfect. The whole idea of the goddess of the hunt and Allison's tune comes out of, I think, the energy.
Let's talk about this song. I'd like to play it for the folks, but tell us a little something about how it came about.
Yeah, well, it actually started on my Dan Electro electric bass. my Texas Longhorn three-quarter size Dan Electro. Oh, and nice. I start a lot of my songs on the either upright or electric bass, and I kind of wrote that hunt, like aggressive kind of anticipated repetitive bass line. And that became kind of what I felt like was like a representation of Artemis and a representation of kind of the determination of each member in this band. And then from there, I just kind of went with what I thought would be kind of a, you know, a way to really feature everybody in the band, but also a way to explore the qualities that I think make women so incredible and powerful, and also Artemis. And I really wanted the song to have this circular feeling where kind of each section blurs into the next. And yeah, I couldn't be happier with it.
Well, let's play a little something from it.
Great.
So there she is speaking about the music, and we heard a little bit of it, Goddess of the Hunt. Ooh, that's a great, I love hearing her speak about her compositions, because it is, she knows, as a composer, she knows what she wants to do. This is what I wanted to do. I have this idea. She's thinking about other people and everybody else but herself. She's incredibly selfless, and I love that about her. Where are we? Okay, yes. As leader and co-leader, here's some records that really stand out. The Boom Tick Boom from 2010, the third one down, is really fantastic. Otis Was a Polar Bear and Glitter Wolf are some really fantastic records. Parlor Game, which features that violinist from 2019, is also a really fantastic record. These are really great jazz and improvisation records, but they also just kind of cross over into just music and, you know, could be indie rock or, you know, some sort of pop, but it's fantastic instrumental music. As a side musician, she's been a part of some really great projects. You know, there's Bear Creek with Brandi Carlile and Red Later Year with Ani DeFranco. Wonderful bassist Ben Allison years back. The stars look very different tonight. Their compositions are kind of their contemporaries as composers, because it's great instrumentation and really unique and angular ways of harmony and melody. And here's my takeaway from me as a listener and a human getting to experience Allison Miller as a musician, that the drums are melodic and more. I've always felt that. I've always heard that. If you see her live, it's just the melody sticks out. I've heard her speak about this at clinics live and online as well, that music is a viable career path. I think every musician somehow goes through that feeling of like, can I do this? Is this something that, can I play? Can I compose? Yes. She says that. She says, yes, you can do this. You can absolutely do this if you love it enough and you just keep doing it and you surround yourself with people. And this is all her saying this, that you can make music your career. If you want to have music in your life, that's totally fine. Not make it a career, that's totally cool. But if you want to make it your job, you can do that. My third takeaway is just a direct quote from her. It's how I feel, and I decided to use the quote, which is, by getting on stage and throwing down while looking the other way I do, I am breaking stereotypes. That's Allison Miller for you. That's why I love Allison Miller, and I am so glad that you joined me. That's all I have today.
A great way to kick off 2021, Mark. Thank you so much for another great session, man. That was awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So everybody, thanks for following along. Let's have a great year together. We're going to continue to build this really wonderful treasure Visit us online at clearwaterjazz.com at the studio. Check out all these videos after the live sessions, or check out the podcast. There's over 220 items of content in season one on the podcast, and over 115 of those are these virtual sessions, and then there's some other programs integrated there. So enjoy them. We've had a lot of fun creating them, and Mark, we'll look forward to seeing you back with us again real soon for some upcoming sessions. You can check out all of those upcoming sessions at clearwaterjazz.com's education and outreach page. There's a little section called upcoming schedule, and you can see all the sessions, the dates, the times, the Zoom links to join those sessions, and we add more all the time. Wonderful musicians and educators participating. So enjoy them. We'll see you back real soon. Everybody stay safe out there. Be well. Keep playing. Keep being creative. And we'll see you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Clearwater Jazz Holidays Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. Thank you to our friends at Marine Max Clearwater for helping to present this podcast series. To learn more about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Annual Festival tradition, other special events throughout the year, and our year-round education and outreach, please visit clearwaterjazz.com.